Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And so it begins. The NFL Draft 2017 edition, just a few hours away. San Francisco 49ers will be on the clock. First of the two Bay Area teams, the Raiders, for the first time in God knows how long, are drafting towards the end at pick number 24. We will have you covered on every development throughout the day with tonight's draft special as the marquee event. 3 p.m. coverage begins right here on 95.7 The Game from the Raider Draft Party. It'll be Papa. It'll be Bonte Hill. It'll be myself. We'll have special appearances, special guests, interviews, and we're going to take it all the way to 6:45. Then the A's coverage will begin. The draft coverage will switch over to our stream and cover all the way through the Raiders pick until 8 p.m. So we got a lot of radio to do today. But we begin with the morning show. We begin with all the latest developments. Christian Arroyo hit a home run last night. The NBA playoffs are taking shape. The NBA TV deal cost about 100 people their jobs yesterday. This show's stacked, but we begin, as we always do, with a good morning. Dibs, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. It's another day closer to the weekend, and for many people in the sports world, today is like Christmas. I saw Adam Schefter of ESPN tweet early this morning, Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas morning. This is a huge day. I wish it was more than just the first round, but it's nice to get the whole thing started.
How's everything going on the home front? I know the wife is out of town, so you're in charge of the boys.
Yeah.
Everything going well over there? They're not trying to run amok
since
the boss is gone?
No, morale is definitely down, though, realizing that it's just dad and that mom's not walking through that door for a few days.
They want their clothes washed. Mommy's just different.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to hug, low.
Yeah, dads are like, all right, boy, go. All right, get over in the corner. I'll talk to you a little bit. Mom's like, how was your day? And they're just so loving, rub the hair. They just love on them. Guy's like, all right, boy, here, go eat your dinner. Get your homework done. They want that mommy time.
Yeah,
they want that mommy
lectures
time.
Are at an all-time high, I'll say that.
A lot of lessons are being imparted over there in the East Bay.
Oh,
Lo, how you feeling today? Does it bring back any memories? 24 years ago, you were drafted a young buck out of Fresno State.
24 years ago. Wow. That's crazy when you put those years like that. 24 years ago, I remember like yesterday, man, sitting around the house waiting for that phone to ring. And, man, it's just it's exciting times, man, especially when you're a young kid, a young man, and you're getting ready. Your life is getting ready to change. You're going from eating Spam, eating salmon croquette and black-eyed peas, to eating a steak, a little bit of caviar every now and then. Can go and buy you a bottle of Don.
I mean, hold on. How much caviar have you eaten in your life?
A little escargot. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Wash it down with a little Dom Perignon.
Little Don.
Central Valley represent.
Little Louis the 13th. You know?
Man, I didn't know they sold that in Lemoore.
They don't. Yeah. Big feet and hog maws, baby, and pig jaws.
He looked right at you. They don't
they
serve
don't.
It there, Debs. It's
they
never even made its way into the
you gotta make the
city boundaries.
To the big city.
Right. You couldn't find a bottle of Louis in that whole county. What are you talking about, brother?
But you can find a brother named Louis.
Now that you could.
All right. Let's start. We got so much to get to.
Sorry about that. No, it's good stuff.
This is what we want to do. There is some breaking news that's been taking place since last night and into this morning. This rumor is growing, and it's going to have a major effect on one of the two local teams in tonight's draft. We're going to get to that in just a few moments. We're also going to relive some great moments in draft history. But first, here's Dibs with your update.
Well, it is the first round, Joe, the NFL draft. It all gets started at 4 o'clock. Our live coverage, Joe Fortenbaugh, Bonte Hill, and Greg Papa, starts at 4 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. The Niners set to pick number 2. Overall, the Raiders will choose number 24. Stay tuned to 95.7 The Game for all the breaking news and the developments as the NFL draft comes up today. Story number 2, the Giants win in thrilling fashion over their rivals, and an old favorite comes back home to roost.
That's hit well. That's hit deep. Adios! It's tied up! Well, is that a blast from the past? Does that remind you of Game 5 of the League Championship Series against the Cardinals?
John Miller, the call on NBC Sports Bay Area. 4-3, the final 100 pence with the sack fly in the 10th. That was Michael Morse. with a homer. Christian Arroyo also hit his first career home run. Story number three, tough times for the A's. They lose 8-5 to the Angels, and Sean Manaea had to leave the game in the second inning with shoulder tightness. The skipper, Bob Melvin, on the injury.
You know, the velo was down, so it didn't make any sense to make him keep pitching. But won't know anything probably for a day or two, how he feels.
We'll update it as it approaches. Kendall Graveman against Ricky Nolasco. 7:05 tonight, the first pitch here on 95.7 The Game. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your home for Warriors playoff basketball. It's 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. Here is how the next hour is going to break down. Heavy draft coverage now and at 6:15. 6:30, Jeff Tedford, the newest head coach at Fresno State, former Cal Golden Bear head coach, will come on to talk about Marshawn Lynch. 6:45, we've got some hoops, some MLB, and some very interesting developments at ESPN and what it means for the future of the NBA and pro sports. But we begin with the NFL draft, and we begin with a highlight. We're going to start things off in light fashion today. We're going to play some NFL draft highlights throughout the show, so we'll begin with this one.
With the 89th pick of the 1993 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Lorenzo Neal, fullback, Fresno State.
Wow, that was surprising.
Todd. Dynamic, hard-hitting, huge upside, flying under the radar, no lap injuries, safe bet. You'd be hard-pressed to tell me otherwise.
Yes.
That's
wrong. Yes. Neal.
It's a big day.
Neal.
It's a big pick right there.
Wow.
Caught a lot of people off guard that New Orleans went with the old fullback.
That was good stuff. He did a great job in production. Wow. I wish it was that big of a deal when I got drafted.
Cody really brought a lot of emotion to the read.
Too much emotion. Real quick, when you were talking about the A's, you said, did Bob Melvin say that his libido was down, so I had to pull him?
No, velo. It's velo.
That's why I looked at you. I said, did you say libido?
No, he's a velo, as in velocity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the NFL draft and Lo Neal getting drafted by the same velo, like right to the A's. What happened with Manaea last night? His libido?
He's got material.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It's a big day for
libido.
Everyone.
A's libido, 6:45. Is it a problem in the East Bay? That moment, though, for you, we were just having some fun with it, but what were you doing on draft day? Like, go back to, some people have the big party, some people are in New York. It was a different NFL back then. What were you doing draft day?
It's crazy, Joe. I remember like yesterday, it was Sunday. I remember Saturday night, went out with a couple of guys. Everyone was talking about it. Hey, Lo Neal's getting drafted. You know, your Fresno State was one of the finalists for the Doak Walker finalists. And, you know, that moment, that draft, you're like, okay, just finished up the wrestling season, still doing it all, and just like, wow, man, my life could change, and you're still going to school, and you're thinking, man, what's going to happen? And you had some fun tonight, and then remember the morning, I got up early to drive home to be with my mom and dad and my family.
And this was when the draft was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
It was going to plow through all those rounds.
Actually, believe it or not, it started on a Sunday.
It started on a Sunday.
Yeah, the draft was Sunday.
And they went all day making those picks.
Yes, yeah, Sunday, and it went all day, Sunday,
wow.
Monday. And the first day was the first four rounds. So you went it all way. Everyone say, God, I want to get drafted on that first day. And I remember, man, just getting up that morning, driving down to Lemoore with the family, and it was church that day. And I remember just going through it. Mom said, "You okay?" And Dad, "You okay?" And you know, went out to church and then came home.
Were you the big thing at church? Was church realizing today's the day the great Lorenzo Neal, one of the area's favorite sons, was going to go pro?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like everyone knew that was the underlying story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you know,
that's got to be cool.
It was really cool, and believe it or not, I was like, well, you know, Mom and Dad, pray for me at church. I can't go to church, so I'm going to be at home watching this draft. And the phone, you know, rang a couple times, and you're thinking, if someone said, hey, anything happened? You're like, dude, because cell phones went out there. I was like, quit calling me. Cell phones were the big – it was the big
They were blocking
suitcase.
Up your landline.
Yeah, I'm
And
like,
I'm sure the old parents didn't have call waiting.
No. I'm like, what the hell?
In case the Chiefs are trying to get through.
Exactly. Big Glenn, if it's busy, you'll call back.
Exactly. I'm like, quit calling me. Leave the line open. Don't want to call. And I remember Kansas City called me, you know, late in the first round and said, hey, look, if you're going to be there at the 32nd pick, or I think it was like 32nd pick at the time, and said, hey, if you're going to be there, we're probably going to get you there. I just want you to know that. So I remember looking forward to it, talking to Mom and Dad. Hey, just Kansas City just called me and said, hey, next round, they're probably looking for it. And I was thinking, maybe I'll get drafted even before that. bless God, second round came and they took Will Shields. So
still a great pick.
Great pick.
Think about that. You're wrestling between Lo Neal and Will Shields. Nice work in the scouting department there.
Yeah.
If those were your two options.
Yeah. Better for Will Shields than Lo Neal.
A little bit.
So I ended up going. And then that second round went by, third round, and then I didn't go to the end up going to the fourth round and went to the Saints. But actually, Joe, just the moments were still great, and it was just awesome to be able to get drafted on the first day.
Thank you for sharing. It's one of those days where we love to reflect with you. Throughout the day, we'll have a little bit more because I know there's some interesting curves that took place throughout the journey. So we'll get to some of that from the 408 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. What's up with the 7-foot intern in the Dodgers hat? Excellent question. Melvin is here today. Melvin will atone for his sins around 6:45. We will bring him on air to figure out why he was at AT&T Park last night, all 7 feet of him, wearing that Dodger hat. But up next, big news surfaced late last night in regards to the top of the NFL draft, and it could have a major ripple effect for what happens with the Niners at number two. You got to hear it all next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
With the 22nd pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Johnny Manziel, quarterback, Texas A&M.
This is better than the movie Draft Day, I'm telling you. I like the fact Cleveland came back up and got the young quarterback.
Worked out well, if you ask me. Oh, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Johnny Manziel.
Johnny.
That was just a couple years ago. Coming out with the money signs, everyone going nuts. Yeah.
Cleveland was happy. They were fired up when the fans went crazy. Got Johnny.
Cleveland.
Wow.
And that leads us into the biggest story happening in the NFL at the moment. Cleveland, who has been on the clock for months now. I mean, we're talking months. You would figure that, how long do you plan, Anna, generally for a wedding? How long did you and your husband plan for your wedding?
We were long. We were about a year and a half. And traditionally, it's between like 9 months to a year.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
The night before the wedding, did you feel as if you had the venue secure, that you knew where you were going to get married? That's crazy because the Browns don't have the venue secure at all. The Browns are getting married tomorrow. They've been planning the wedding for a year. They don't even know if the bride's going to show up. They don't know if they have the church. No one knows what's on the menu. And here's the latest. From Adam Schefter of ESPN last night, and this sent people into a frenzy. Quote, I continue to hear that Mitchell Trubisky is square in consideration and may turn out to be the number one pick. Now, I know everyone thinks Myles Garrett's going to be the pick, and I will not be surprised if that's the case. But I have got very smart, very well-connected people telling me over the last 24 hours that they think Trubisky's going to be the number one pick. Hint, hint, for those of you who may or may not like a little action, there are several bets out there offering ridiculously favorable odds for Trubisky at one, for Garrett at two, for a complete flip, because this was supposed to be a done deal. Myles Garrett, the pass rusher from A&M, going one overall. Here we are on draft day. It feels as if there's a divide in the building. And Schefter's no slouch. This is probably the best NFL reporter in the business, and he hates to be wrong. Lo, what do you think is going on in Cleveland at the moment? I think we're past the point where it's smoke screens, right?
Duh. I'm absolutely, you asked me, what do I think's going on? I have no clue. Hey, when you came in this morning and we started talking about this, and after we were laying it out, I'm absolutely taken back. I don't see possible. Is it possible? Yeah, and I said it wasn't probable that Mitchell Trubisky will be the first overall pick. But then if Schefter is not going to just put his name out there and just start saying, okay, it's going to be this guy. For what? For who? He's got nothing to gain. This guy's very detailed in everything that he gets out because he wants to make sure he's got a name for himself and he wants to keep his reputation. He's a guy that goes in. He knows GMs. He knows head coaches. That's why he's the first guy to break in. He's an insider. So this, to me, it's crazy, though. I just don't understand it. If they make this pick, I'll be very shocked, but it seems like it's going to happen.
What's most intriguing is that Schefter, this isn't the first time he said this. He's been saying for weeks, he's the guy that's been reporting, look, Trubisky's very much in play. Stop assuming it's Garrett. Stop assuming it's Garrett. And then this bomb comes out last night, followed by the release of the mock draft of Bob McGinn from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, most people might not know who Bob is. He's been covering the NFL at a very high level for decades. Bob McGinn is extremely well-respected. Doesn't mean he's going to go 100% on his mock draft, but he released his mock last night. Trubisky, number one overall to the Cleveland Browns. Here's another report. Michael Lombardi, currently with the Ringer, former NFL personnel man with the Raiders, the Browns, the Niners back in the day. He worked under Bill Walsh in the 80s. Friend of mine, love the dude. He was on Twitter yesterday saying that yesterday the Browns were having discussions with teams about the 12th overall pick, which they also own. Doesn't sound like a surprise, right? We've been hearing for a month that the Browns are trying to trade up from 12. Only the report from Lombardi is that the Browns have been calling teams behind them saying that they're open for business at 12, they're willing to move back, they're already locked up at 1. If you know what you're doing at 1 and it's not a quarterback, you're not trying to trade back from 12, you're trying to come back up to get a QB. So, Dibs, is Cleveland getting ready to Cleveland this draft?
It looks like it. And, we were talking about this pre-show, and then hearing you lay it out right now, it seems like Cleveland is going in that direction. I just can't believe it, because not only is he not the best player in the draft, I don't think he's the best quarterback in the draft. I think Deshaun Watson, at the end of the day, will have a better career than Mitchell Trubisky will. And also, I think that Myles Garrett is more of a can't-miss prospect, despite criticisms that have come out about the player. I think that he's the guy you should take at one, and the fact that the Browns look like they're not going to do that and go with Trubisky, I think it's another huge mistake.
I'll tell you right now, if I'm any GM, if I said, Dave said, hello, I'm going to let you be the GM, and I want you to get me a for sure guy that you think is going to play for me for the next 10 years and give me solid play. Not he's going to be a Pro Bowler out of those 10 years, maybe three or four times. He's going to have a solid career. He's not going to get in trouble, but he's going to do his job. And you know that you said, this guy is a centerpiece of my team for years. It's simple. I would go with Solomon Wilcox. I don't know why that Solomon, this kid from Stanford.
Stanford's defensive tackle.
Absolutely. If you told me, give me a guy in this draft that you just feel that you can't miss, that's going to be a blue collar, that's going to work hard, that's going to be an all pro, that's going to get things done, I would take Solomon.
I got your ass on that North Carolina game he played, and since then you have loved this kid.
You have done
all your research on him, and you love watching him play football.
I love watching him play, Joe.
I love hearing that because you know it better than anybody else.
Because he can play the three. You can put him on the guard.
Three technique for those listening means
right between the center and the guard, right in that little hole right there, playing right over the nose, right between the guard and the center. Then he can go out and play the five over the tackle. And head up, and he can play a wide nine that is on the edge. So he can play all down your defensive front.
Versatile is what you're saying.
He's very versatile defensive lineman. And you don't usually get that. Usually the three, he's right there as a run stopper. He's just right there as a gap stopper. But this guy can put some pressure on the quarterback. He's not an elite rusher, but he can move the pile. You can line him up over a tackle. He's like a J.J. Watt, but not that motor, but he's strong. He's physical. He, to me, is the for sure can't miss. If you said that's the guy that I love out of this draft.
If you're John Lynch, you have got to be drooling right now at this news. Because if the Browns go out and draft Trubisky, and that move would be the owner, Jimmy Haslam, saying, I want the kid from Cleveland, I want the quarterback. Because football ops does not want Trubisky. Football ops wants to go Garrett and then maybe try to get Trubisky. They don't want him number one.
No.
So this is an internal strife right now with the owner, probably at the 11th hour, telling everyone what he wants. That's why Cleveland is Cleveland. But if they make that move, the Niners are now sitting in position to A, draft Myles Garrett, or B, open up the phones once again to say, who wants Garrett? Come on up. Someone probably loves that kid enough to realize, holy crap, he just fell to 2. Let's make a play. And you know what you do if you're the Niners by stocking those picks? You build your arsenal so that next year you can put yourself in position to be the number one overall pick to draft Sam Darnold, quarterback USC. Think long term. You can trade back. You can still get yourself a starter. Kid that can be around for quite some time. It's a long rebuild. Put yourself in position for the best quarterback next year, because Darnold is going to be better than any quarterback in this year's draft class.
And the class next year, if I'm not mistaken, is deeper quarterback-wise than this one is as well. So you know you're more than one quarterback away from being a legitimate team again. So stockpile. And if you go back from 2, if Myles Garrett falls to you, you could take him at 2, but why not move back to maybe 9 and 23 or however many more picks you can get, because this draft is deep enough outside of quarterback that you can add 4, 5, maybe 6 legitimate impact guys.
I'd like to say I can't believe it that Cleveland is here after all these months and they still don't know what they're going to do, but it's Cleveland. It shouldn't surprise you one bit. I still think my prediction is going to hold. The clock's going to run out before they turn in the card and they're going to lose it. And the Niners will get the number one overall pick. Jeff Tedford, current Fresno State head coach, former Cal Bears head coach, is going to join us next to talk about the signing of Marshawn Lynch in Oakland. You're not going to want to miss it. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
With the 12th pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Marshawn Lynch, University of California, running back.
Been a hell of a journey for Marshawn Lynch, who officially landed with your Oakland Raiders yesterday morning. Welcome back, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. He coached Marshawn Lynch in California. He was also the offensive coordinator at Fresno State when the great Lo Neal was playing there. And he's now the current head coach at Fresno State, Jeff Tedford, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, first off, good morning and thank you for your time. About a half hour ago, Lowe was telling us a story of his draft day back in 93, fourth rounder to New Orleans, and said, you know what, guys? I would have been a first rounder if Tedford had given me more carries. True or not?
Yeah, that figures.
Don't let him put a wedge between us, Coach. Don't let him put a wedge between us.
Yeah, he never carried the ball anyway. He was the lead blocker for all those guys, and he was phenomenal with it. He was a great player.
How's everything going in the transition back at Fresno State? Lowe's been hyping you for a while. There's a lot of excitement here in the Bay Area for the rise to prominence of the Bulldogs. How's it been with recruiting and everything getting back into the saddle there?
It's been great. A lot of energy in the city. We've practiced 13 times so far. Two left here. We have our spring game on Saturday. It's been great. It really has. The players are excited. They're working really hard. We've made a lot of progress through the spring, and it's just great to be home. It really is. It's like a time machine coming back, and Fresno's a special place. I'm really happy to be here.
Coach, you know a thing or two about building. You're building Cal, a program that was kind of, you know, when you got it, you had to take over and help build a stadium. All the different transitions that you have to go, you know, had to go through. What makes that so unique now and doing the same thing again in Fresno? And what made your time in Cal so appreciative here, too? Because a lot of fans still love you. A lot of families want to know where you're at and what you're doing. So how has that transition been, the two places?
Well, Lo, there's a lot of similarities, really, you know, because, you know, you go into a place that's passionate about football, and both at Cal and here, and had some down years. And so, you know, you take over a program that only won one game back at Cal, and the first thing is to build the trust and confidence of the players, because nobody likes to go through those situations. And we were really fortunate to do it there. We had a lot of great players, like you guys were talking about, Marshawn and Aaron Rodgers and DeSean Jackson and so on and so forth, just a lot of great players. And we're able to really build that thing and do some special things there. And eventually the stadium, which they'll be able to enjoy for the next 100 years. So a lot of great memories there, but a lot of the same things here in that they won one game last year. So there's some work to be done, but the players are really excited about what we're doing. The number one thing besides the players is surround yourself with a great staff. And I feel like we've done that here. I think that's imperative, and to create the right culture and environment for success and, in all areas, not just on the football field, but academically and socially. And so it's been a great spring so far, and we're going to finish up here strong and look forward to the season.
We wish you the absolute best down there. Jeff Tedford joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned Marshawn Lynch, your former player, now an Oakland Raider. What should Raider Nation look forward to as far as his drive and his work ethic, even though it's kind of late in his career now, Coach?
Well, I think it's pretty evident what he has done, you know, with his days in Seattle. You know, he's a special back. There's no doubt about it. He, you know, I was worried about him his last couple of years just because of how physical he plays and the pounding that he takes. And because he doesn't go down. And that was one of the same things at Cal. I mean, he used to have the whole defense piled on his back and he'd still be on his feet. And it's like, hey, man, you got to go down at some point, you know. But he runs so hard and so physical, And but now he's had a little break, and you know, his roots run really deep in Oakland, and he has a true passion for that city. And so for him to come back, because he doesn't need to, he's done an awesome job of branding himself and being really successful in business. So he has a passion to come back. And I think a lot of that is surrounded with the name Oakland.
Jeff Tedford, head coach Fresno State with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I want to stick right there for a moment. You had him at Cal. He played his football at Berkeley. He grew up in Oakland. The fact that he is now a Raider, how much do you think this means to him? Because like you said, it's not necessarily about the money. The opportunity to play for the team you grew up watching, what do you think that means to him?
I think it means everything. I don't know the whole story. I haven't talked to him lately, but I would venture to say that he probably wouldn't have come back if it wasn't Oakland. And that's how much Oakland means to him. And he always had that going a family first, and it was really about the people in Oakland. And he always wanted to keep a strong connection to Oakland. He does his charity events in Oakland. He does a lot of things for the kids in Oakland. You know, so I don't think there was any need for him to come back except for the pride to play in his hometown or for his home team.
Coach, were you the one that got coaches that brought the cart out for him to drive around? That's one. And two, how was it trying to recruit guys like that, like the Aaron Rodgers? What would coach, you know, I know a lot of listeners here want to know if the Aaron Rodgers going to be a Hall of Famer, first ballot when he decides to hang it up. What goes into that process when you know that people are wanting these guys, or also guys that people aren't, they're not really wanting them? And what do you see to be able to identify talent and players that can be going to be great?
Well, first off, no, I didn't set up that cart. That wasn't planned, but he had scored a touchdown in overtime against Washington to win. And, you know, I'm over there shaking the other coach's hand. I look over and see Marshawn driving around the field. And I thought it was funny. I thought it was awesome to see a kid showing school spirit and getting involved, until I got a call the next day from the AD saying, don't do that anymore. But he was having fun. And, you know, it was nice to see him having fun. As far as the recruiting piece is concerned, you know, I think every individual is unique in that way. Marshawn was a kid that I think staying home was big to him, the people around him, hence the whole Oakland Raider thing. And you know, he wanted to take a couple trips just because, you know, he had never been anywhere before. And he told me, I said, do I have your word that you're coming? And he said, yeah. And so he took, I think, one trip, and he came back and said, okay, I'm done with that. You know, so I think family and friends and people around him there was very important to him, and obviously did a great job. And then, you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who was just totally under the radar, kind of fell into him watching a tight end on tape, looking for a tight end, and said, who's the quarterback here? You know, and he'd only been in JC for 1 year. And so we were able to go up there and watch him practice and felt like he not only had great skills, but he had the leadership qualities. You could just tell how people, his teammates, gravitated toward him. And he was a really special guy. So, you know, I think, you know, you talk about the Hall of Fame. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, I think he's the premier guy in the league just because of all he can do, not just with his arm, but with his legs. You know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks, but I think the whole package with Aaron, I think, sets him above. And I think what he's done so far in the NFL is pretty special.
Coach Tedford, that's how you found Aaron Rodgers? You were watching tape of a tight end?
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. Garrett Cross was a tight end. We were looking for a tight end and watching him, and noticed the quarterback was doing some pretty special things, and called the recruiting coach in from that area and said, you know, who's the quarterback? And he was only a freshman, so nobody really knew about him because it wasn't really his time to be recruited yet. And if you're a qualifier coming out of high school, you can leave after 1 year. So we found that out. And then Coach Rigsby up at Butte was kind enough to let us recruit him because we're taking his best player away a year early. And so he was kind enough to let us recruit him. And the rest is history. He made a pretty big impact on our program for sure.
Does it ever feel to you like he's treated unfairly with the media over the last few years? Because this is a guy that not only is performing at a ridiculously high level, but he, by all accounts, appears to be a good teammate, good guy in the community, likable. Yet there are always these stories where it feels like people are trying to cut Aaron Rodgers down.
You know, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I don't pay much attention to that. I think Aaron did a phenomenal job in the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron, you know, because that's a difficult situation to be in. And I thought Aaron handled that really professionally. And, you know, and that's a hard thing to take over for a legend like Brett Favre. And the expectation levels. And besides that, you know, in the latter years, I don't really know. I don't read those articles or anything. But I know Aaron's a very gifted guy. He's a very focused guy on team. He's a perfectionist, as all those great ones are. And so, you know, you can never please everybody, you know. So it's his demands and things, you know, he leads a different life than a lot of people because the demands are just so high on him. And he came to Cal one time and we're sitting in there talking and a group came by taking a tour and wanted to break down the door to get to him, you know. So he's a very popular guy and you know, so, but he's popular, but a private guy, you know, and so I think he does his best to keep that side of himself, you know, away from the public.
Well, Coach, we want to thank you for your time here at 95.7 The Game's Joe and Dibbs there, and we really appreciate who you are as a man and as a person. Go Dogs, go get them.
All right, Lo. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks, Coach. Jeff Tedford, head coach of Fresno State, former Cal Bears HC. Follow him on Twitter, at Coach Tedford. You excited about the future of Fresno State?
I really am, Joe. It's heading in the right direction. Here's a guy that's going to get out there and grind. He goes to the parents. He makes sure that he's in those living rooms. He's got that effect that, you know, where he's going to sit down with the parents and make them feel a part. He includes so many guys. He's brought back all the alums. He's going to build a program there.
I'd like to come down and join you for a game this season. It's time I finally came down.
Absolutely.
To Central Valley.
It took you only 3 years. Dibs, you're invited to.
It's fun. I haven't been to a Fresno State event since Bobby Jones was pitching against Cal State Northridge, and I was on the mic.
We had him on the show a couple times. Baby Jones, good friend of mine.
He cost me a trip to Omaha. That guy's dead to me. Dead to me, Coach.
Whoa.
We were three outs away from Omaha.
Save the vitriol, because up next, we got a few things we're getting into, but we will be joined by the intern named Melvin. He was at the Giant game last night wearing a Dodger hat, tall and all. We would like to get to the bottom of that. Joe Lo and Dibs, the Investigators, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Left center field, hit well, still going. Adios! Pedanta! The first home run for Christian Arroyo. And now it's a one.
I mean, it just brought life to the bench. You know, you're down three, now you're down one. You know, and we were, just not doing anything offensively.
That's hit well. That's hit deep. Adios! It's tied up!
I was like, I hope I didn't strike out, and I'm just running around the bases. it was cool, man. It was just not only for me, but I think for the team it was a big moment.
Left field. Tagging Hernandez, the catch. Bellinger's throw. The Giants have won it.
Lifeless in Colorado last weekend. The Giants came back, and last night were on the verge of being no hit by Alex Wood. No hit. You're watching Johnny Cueto out there do all he can and thinking to yourself, Cueto's going to be gone. He didn't want to deal with this. And then sure enough, the kid, Christian Arroyo, second game, first career homer. And then Michael Morse gets called up, and homer's late. Wham, bam, thank you, man. Final in 10, Giants 4, Dodgers 3, Dibs.
Yeah, they've taken 2 of 3 in the series with the finale today. And, you know, who was beating the drum of Michael Morse louder than me? I don't think anybody
was. You loved
him. We talked about all these left field machinations with will it be Parker or will it be Marrero, and Parker gets hurt and Marrero gets sent and who's going to man the post. And I kept saying, keep your eyes on the long-haired AAA kid, and Michael Morse gets called up and now he's a hero again.
How long do you think they can ride this emotion? Because with Arroyo coming up for game one against the Dodgers, didn't get a hit, but then 2 nights ago gets his first hit against Kershaw. Last night gets his first home run. Now Morse. Clearly there's an injection of life, a shot of adrenaline to this clubhouse. How long can they maintain this, though?
I think it can be maintained short-term with Morse, but long-term with Arroyo, because he's the real deal. You see him in the batter's box and you see him over at third base. He already looks pretty comfortable. He doesn't look awed by the moment. Morse is going to be hit and miss, but if you have that bat on the bench at the very least and a great clubhouse presence, that could last for a long time as well. And don't look now, Joe, this Giants team not ready to dip off into the offseason just yet.
Now, most of you probably think that the excitement in last night's game at AT&T Park was taking place on the field. You would be grossly mistaken. Arroyo, forget about it. Morse, forget about it. Cueto, forget about it. Intern Melvin, all 7 feet of him, was at the game last night. Dibs, you cannot anything past the wily veteran, gets a screenshot of Melvin in a Dodger hat down at the stadium. Now, let's just slow everything down, and we're going to start with Dibs here. You're watching the game with the kids last night.
Yep.
You started a phenomenon on social media with this. Take me through it.
Well, I'm watching the game, and some fan makes a great play out in right field on a foul ball. And I love the way NBC Sports, NBC Bay Area, whoever had the game last night, I love the way they cover the game because they really hone in on great fan experiences and fan interactions. This fan makes a great play. They show it again, and when they show it again, in the background is this gigantic lurch-like figure, and out of the corner of my eye, I say, you got to be bleeping kidding me. That is our very own Ryan Williams, a.k.a. Melvin. So I rewound it, watched it again, and I said, I got to pause and click to make sure that you and Lowe are both aware that our guy's on TV. But wait, not only is he on TV, but atop his head, and I can barely see it because his head rises into the clouds.
What's real
atop
big, of his too. Head? Real big head.
Dodger hat.
What?
A flipping Los Angeles Dodger hat. I'm thinking, you know what? This will not fly. It's been a good run for Melvin. It's been a nice little internship, but it is all over.
Now, with that story on the record, we bring Melvin into the program. Melvin, welcome. Is this the first time you've ever been on air?
Ever.
Ever?
Ever, yeah.
Tell the people your name. What's your real name?
Ryan Williams.
It's spelled like Ryan Sandberg, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I was named after Ryan Sandberg.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
Is it Ryan or Ryan?
Ryan.
The second one.
The second one.
Not I Melvin. Always wondered that. I was just it's Melvin for all intents and purposes. don't come on the air and start telling me it's not Melvin, all right? How did he get the name Melvin, by the way? Is that a low special?
Of course, locabulary.
Hey, the guy's in here, 7 foot. You know, he's got the hockey look, missing tooth, and he's got this big
guy's
look.
A gamer.
He's a gamer. He shoots the three, and I'm like, what's his name? And I forgot it was Ryan. You know, I'm just like, so I go with
and
Melvin.
We know that every now and again you might. Yeah, that name might slip past you.
Absolutely. So I went with Melvin.
Coach. Melvin, come on, coach.
Okay, so.
His dad got mad at me, by the fact. Text me on the text line. I will call you Lewis until you stop calling my son Melvin.
Fair. I'm okay with that as well. Melvin, you're 7 feet. You play basketball where?
San Francisco State.
What year are you in?
I'm going to be a fourth year, but I redshirted.
Redshirted, okay. And how much do you weigh right now at 7 feet?
250 about.
Have you been trying to put more weight on to kind of thicken up that frame a little bit?
Yeah, I put on 30 pounds last summer, and I'm probably going to hope to put on 20 more this summer.
Doing what?
Just eating.
Eating what?
Well, I'll tell you.
If you're going to tell me food, I'm going to throw you out of the studio.
If you look at the picture I put on Twitter, he's clearly eating. I don't know if that's a cheesesteak or a hot dog.
Oh, that was one of those crab sandwiches.
Okay, so now you had a crab sandwich down at the ballpark last night.
Got to have one of those.
Now take us to the big moment. You're wearing a Dodger hat. Yes. Dibs got upset. He started a viral storm on this. I was trying to write a story last night. I was trying to ease into today. It's going to be a long day with the draft show and everything. Dibs sends this picture out on Twitter, my social media. Is blowing up. What are you doing down there? Are you trolling or are you a Dodger fan?
No, I'm from LA, born and raised in SoCal. So, you know, got to rep the hometown team.
But you're named after a Chicago Cub. And let's be fair, where you're from is really almost tweener country, right? Up there in Castaic.
It's tweener. It's northern.
Job, Dibs.
Northern, I'm keeping it real.
Northernmost LA County.
Keep going.
Northernmost LA County, just about at the border. But I grew up listening to Vin Scully, you know, watching lots of Dodger baseball. So, got to root for the hometown team.
Do you get any grief when you go to AT&T Park wearing a hat like that?
Nah, nobody's going to mess with a 7-footer.
Whoa.
Nobody's going to mess with a 7-footer.
7-footer who shoots threes. It's not like you get underneath the basket and throw elbows
around. But I don't walk around saying I shoot threes, Joe.
That's true. That's a good point. You're pretty good on air. Do you feel comfortable right now for your first time?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Were you nervous at all when I told you back there earlier that you were going to be coming on air?
No, because I talk with you guys in the mornings. I talk with you guys before the show, so I feel pretty comfortable running.
And I treat you well. You must admit. Thank you.
Except for the Melvin.
You don't even know his name. What do you mean you treat him well?
Call me Melvin.
Yeah.
Coach.
And is he...
Lewis.
This leads us into a natural progression. Would he be on Mount Melvin more?
No, especially not after he, first of all, he goes to school in San Francisco now. So at the very least, if you don't want to rep the orange and black, wow, you got to put the blue and white away.
Fair assessment.
You look good in the purple. Mm. Shout out the Gators. SF State, they had a great year this year. Real proud of my alma mater. But when it comes to representing this show, you're a public figure now, Melvin. When you're out there representing Jolo and Dibs, you can't be showing up in Dodger gear. I'm always watching, young man.
Fair point. You don't see me walking around in a Phillies hat.
You don't.
You're right.
So where's he on the Melvin list? Go through some Melvins.
Well, there's Bob Melvin. He's on Mount Melvin Moore. Yeah.
What about Intern Moore? Is there a Mount Intern Moore?
Yeah, and it's sadly, some of our former interns have already weighed in on that.
Oh, the one guy who broke the camera and then got thrown. Remember that guy? Oh. That guy's on Mount Criminal Intern Moore.
First of all, Melvin in the blue notes is definitely on Mount Melvin Moore. Bo Mel, who joins us every...
Yeah, of course, Bo Mel.
Thursday, is it? Friday?
Monday.
Bo
Mel on Monday.
Yeah, these days.
Mount Monday Moore.
They blend together. So, yeah. Yeah, you're not quite on Mount Melvin Moore.
Anna, did you go to San Francisco State?
Yes, I did.
How do you feel about one of your own disrespecting the Giants the way Melvin has, going down the AT&T Park wearing that hat?
You know, I will give him this, though. The fact that he's still repping his team, it's a little uncomfortable because he's at San Francisco State, but he's staying true to his colors.
He's loyal.
So I can't fault him for that.
Melvin, is there anything you'd like to say before you go? Would you like to atone?
I would definitely not like to atone.
That's the right answer. You got to stand up for your team. As much as it may aggrieve Giants fans to see you down there wearing that hat, the fact that you are loyal and truthful, that stands for something. That means something.
Thank you.
Someone said, hey,
get the hell out of my studio.
Said, hey,
I did love.
What did that hey, Bigfoot go eat a dog? They're killing me. 7 foot
of
eating
crap sandwiches. Hey, roasted me on Twitter, roasted me on the text line. I'm just getting roasted.
Yeah, I mean, this really, you got to wake up early in the morning to slip some bass, the Wiley veteran.
If any of you guys to catch that, it would only be Dibs.
Melvin,
only.
On behalf of all of us here with Jolo and Dibs, put an egg in your size 19 quadruple E shoe and beat it. Thank you.
Thank you, Melvin. You can go ahead and turn his mic off. That's plenty of air time for him.
What a day.
He did a really nice job, though. The young man, he was composed on air. He's got a future in the industry. He's got future in the
and
industry.
He is on Mount 7 foot intern more. So just be clear, of all the 7 foot interns we've had, he's definitely among the top four.
Yeah, he would definitely be amongst the top four. I would give him that. I was really trying to do the analysis there, and I thought to myself, you know what? He does slide in late in the first round.
Very he slides late. In I thought there. You guys told Melvin he can leave.
He can't go.
I don't know why he's still hanging out here. Why don't you physically do something about it? No, he was good. Thank you, Melvin. You did a nice job. If you could go back to finding the cheapest tickets for Canelo Alvarez and Chavez, I'd appreciate it.
Friday Nemo.
Coach.
Oh, you're going to be there, Coach.
Well, I'm going to be down there for a bachelor party next weekend, so.
Oh, good for you.
Might as well put the interns to work.
Attaboy.
I can't believe how expensive. Well, I tried to figure out why it was so expensive. The cheapest ticket to go see that fight is like $400. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch. And then you realize two very popular Mexican fighters.
Yeah.
The Mexican fan base, huge in that area. They love their boxing. I mean, Argentina will show up when Maidana fights there. So when you have Mexican fighters, the passion for those guys, especially Alvarez, who's been anointed by Oscar De La Hoya, they're going to show up. So it's a hot ticket to get.
Seems like you should just use one of your pet badges and just like freaking walk in to join.
But then I'm kind of like leaving everyone at the bachelor party out of the equation, and people already, by and large, dislike me enough. Yeah, you got to try to fit in and be a nice person.
You're very true there.
Yeah. All right. That's a great segment. Thank you, Melvin. Thank you, Dibs, for being so diligent last night. That was a job well done.
Always working, Joe.
We've got the NFL draft to get into next. If you are just joining us, or if you're in the future and you're about to join us, huge news as it pertains to pick number one and what that could mean for the San Francisco 49ers. We are back in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. 95.7 The Game.
Coach. Coach.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.